Stay tuned, my dad and the generations is next.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members at Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Are you looking for the ideal Western family vacation? You need to check out Latigo Ranches at latigotrails.com. Enjoy a 100-mile panoramic view of the Continental Divide, 3 miles from the nearest neighbor. Latigo Ranch is secluded, scenic, and intimate, the perfect size to create a sense of family coming home. Enjoy a vacation of mountains, fishing, trails, horses, and great country cooking. Whether it's a family reunion or a once-in-a-lifetime Western vacation for your family, Latigo Ranches is where you want to be. LatigoTrails.com or call 1-800-227-9655.
Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
And I'm talking to parents today. Fathers and mothers, what do you want out of life? What is your vision for your family, for your life? When you're on your deathbed, what are you going to say? I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Or will your children be on your mind? I'm Kevin Swanson. I'm a father of five. These are major concerns in my estimation. But today we want to talk about children in Christian families. Well, many of them are dropping out. In fact, in more cases than not, children abandon their parents' faith. It's unfortunate, but it happens. In some churches, the entire second generation drops out. In a lot of cases, it's a generational fade. In other words, the first generation is hot for God, the second generation is sort of lukewarm, and then by the third generation, they are dead cold. They don't attend church. They're not involved at all. The faith is dead. It's gone. That's a sad fact, but it happens. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to face this fact today, and I want to bring a positive message to bear today on Generations. Today, it's, will the circle be unbroken? We don't want a broken circle. We want our children serving God. We want our children being in heaven when we get there, don't we? Well, we're going to talk to families today who have already laid down a legacy of multi-generational faithfulness. In other words, from generation to generation to generation, they're still serving God. It's exactly what we want. It's every parent's dream come true. And the folks we interview in this segment of interviews are those who have raised their children, and all of their children are serving God in some capacity around the world. This is an exciting episode in the series of Generation programs. I hope you will stay tuned. In just a moment, it's Ralph Swanson, my dad. We'll be back in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303. Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student.
Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852. Ladies and gentlemen, will the circle be unbroken? That's the topic today. And Psalm 78 tells us that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's the vision for every parent, I think, out there, every Christian parent that wants to raise their children such that they will serve God. And we want to see our children in heaven someday. But the devil has his sights set on our children. His rifle is set a rapid fire. He knows what happens when parents raise faithful children to God. And by the way, if you do a survey of Christian history, of history from the beginning of time, you're going to find the greatest men and women of God the world has ever known. Every great Christian in the history of the world had Christian parents, or at least a Christian mother, at least since Jesus' time. Augustine, Patrick, Chrysostom, George Whitefield, Charles Spurgeon, John Bunyan, John Payton, John Newton, Patrick Henry, George Washington. I haven't found one yet. Now, there may be a few out there, but the greatest Christians, the greatest missionaries, the greatest theologians have had Christian parents who gave them some kind of a vision. So the influence of godly children who are raised by godly parents, or at least a godly mother, in the case of Augustine and George Whitefield and several others, all they had was a Christian mother, a single mother, but she did a very good job. The devil knows what happens when godly parents raise godly children. He also knows what happens when godly parents or Christian parents from Christian churches raise unfaithful children to God. You get men like Charles Darwin or Jean-Jacques Rousseau or Friedrich Nietzsche. All of them had Christian parents, either pastors or active members of the church. And of course, these men, Charles Darwin, Rousseau, Nietzsche, these men are the men that rule the modern world, men who are behind guys like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and all the other bloody humanist revolutions. So I see on the one hand, the influence of children raised in the God home can be incredible. On the other hand, if they do not follow God, just the opposite happens. Let's ask the question, do we want to see our children in heaven? Do we really want to see this happen? And today we want to talk to somebody who has raised children who serve God in some capacity around the world. And I want to bring my dad on the line with me today. He lives in Grants Pass, Oregon. Dad, Ralph Swanson from Grants Pass, Oregon. Thanks for joining us on Generations.
Oh, hi.
Several questions about how you raised your children. But first of all, Dad, why don't you tell us about your children, six of us all together. What are they doing around the world today?
Well, God's been gracious to us, and I'm sure it's been an answer to the prayer. All of our children are active in Christian service, not necessarily 100% Christian service in the sense of missionaries and pastors, but some are even in that. We have one son that's still serving in Japan, kind of a leftover from when our ministry was out there, I think. And then we have another daughter who is serving in London in the capacity of taking the gospel to the hundreds of thousands of Mohammedans out there that have migrated into England. And then, of course, we have Kevin.
That's me.
And his very extensive ministries there in Colorado and throughout the United States, actually. And then our other children are all active in Christian work in their churches, piano and organ in some cases, teaching and assisting the church in many other ways. In fact, we have another son in Denver that's active in even street evangelism. God has been gracious.
Dan, how important of a value was that to you while you were raising us back in the 60s and 70s? How important was it to see that your children followed God?
Actually, we hadn't. We just assumed they were. Our teaching and family devotions and the general feeling of our family is that this is what was going to happen. And I think that's important. I think people need that vision that they should expect that this is the way that God's going to work with their children.
As you look back and you see that now your children are serving God in various ways, what do you attribute that to? Is there something very basic in terms of how you see that developing?
I think in bringing up children, they need to be taught a scheduled life and a because that leads to a disciplined life. We've seen so many of the hundreds of families that we've known through the years, of even pastors and missionaries, that the children were just fairly undisciplined in the way that they were brought up. I think this is one of the things, the key things that we need to do as parents. And part of that discipline, of course, is the child's devotional life. We scheduled, even though you can't make your child a Christian, even so, the Lord uses those kind of things in calling children and young people to Christ, too.
Now, Dad, you were teaching in the public schools back in the 1950s and in a Christian school in the 1960s.
In 59 through 65, I did teach in a public school. Even in those days, we were seeing the children getting more and more power over the education system. When I say children, well, it'll be children and parents. But we're not focused toward education, but toward various rights that they wanted. The absence of discipline was coming in, of course. So we did leave the public school system, and we moved into the Christian school system here in Oregon. There was a small Christian school that we moved to here, and we were there 3 years.
And eventually you chose to homeschool us, all six of us. Some of us attended private schools for short periods of time. But why did you decide to go the direction of homeschooling?
Well, actually, we were more or less forced into it because we did leave the United States and lived in Japan for the next 16 years. There was only a choice of sending children to the Japanese public school, and we did not want them to be educated with the values that they have over there, even though educationally they're pretty high compared with the United States, but there are a lot of other cultural things having to do with Shintoism and Buddhism that are in the schools that we did not want the children exposed to. So we taught our own children. Turned out to be a very successful enterprise. In fact, that all of our children did well. When they tried to go to college, they almost all had A's in all the courses. Four of our six children now have their master's degrees even.
Now, Dad, as you began to put together our homeschooling program back in the 60s and 70s, what were you trying to weave into it? Obviously, you used a lot of scripture, a lot of the Bible. What was your intent in creating that educational program for us?
Well, there was not the organization of the Christian school movement in those days, and so there weren't a lot of materials available like there are now. And I'm sure many of them are good that people use, but we just used courses basically for grade school were being used in the public school at that time, but they were not blatantly anti-Christian as they are now in many cases. And so the children in the first eight grades pretty much followed the same courses as in the schools in America from back in the 50s or so, I would say. We did supplement it with Christian teaching also, Bible courses. In fact, their mother made up a lot of Bible courses herself, and theological courses in high school that were very similar to what people study in seminary today. So we did supplement with those. We had also some practical things brought in. I taught the children how to fix different things around the house, and try to bring in things that you actually need to know for your life, which is neglected quite often in education.
Dad, as you raised us back on the mission field in Japan, was there any incident or anything you experienced that changed your perception or your perspective of raising your children?
I don't think so. I think we consistently continued the way we started, and we didn't make any big changes throughout the education of all six of our children. Of course, that was over a period of quite a few years, since there was a 13-year separation between our first and our last.
Now, it seems to me that as I look back from the years that I can remember, it seems like throughout the 1970s, our family devotion time became more and more important as a function in our home. Did you see that as an important part of our education?
Well, I think we added to it as years went by. In fact, daily devotion time with the children usually took at least a half hour, maybe more at times. It entailed, besides reading the Bible, memory work review for the children. I had a pile of cards with memory verses on them that the children had been working on, and they had reviewed them every day, along with answers to catechism questions that we took up. We read from classical Christian books by Bunyan and Pink and others. The children actually prepared 5-minute Bible studies almost every day of the week. They worked on them on Sunday afternoon as their Lord's Day activity. And that gave them all experience for later in life when they had to actually lead others in Bible studies. So those are some of the things that we did that I think helped us cement Christian lifestyle. Not that they that is going to convert anyone, but still, it's good preparation for future life.
Dad, there's obviously a lot of discussion as to how much the church contributes to the discipleship, the salvation of a child, and how much parents contribute to that. Stateside, you've got a lot of youth programs going on all the time. In your estimation, what do you think how do you think the church plays a part in the discipleship of a child?
Well, in our case, of course, the church had almost no part because we had our own church in our home in Japan with some Japanese coming in. Of course, its services were held in Japanese. So as far as the church is concerned, our church was actually our own family for the most part. The church can be good as you have families that have well-trained and disciplined children. It could be a good influence even on your own children. But parents need to be careful because even in the church situation, there are some families that you may not want to use as a model or for your children to be close friends with. So I do give that bit of advice.
As we wrap things up today, Dad, what advice do you think you give brand new parents today? There's parents coming along who are just, you know, they have their newborns and they're ready to raise these children for God. What kind of advice would you give them at this point?
I believe that a couple points I would make with for families. Many parents are constantly asking their children what they want. And I believe that the parents should decide what the child wants. And just in case of coming to the table, parents say, do you want this to eat? Do you want that to eat? Do you want this kind of cereal? The parents should set the agenda there and not be asking the children to make all these decisions. And another thing I would bring up for young parents is never threaten to punish a child. You just do it. I've seen so many people say, if you do this, I'm going to do that. Has a very bad result usually. So I'd say consistency would be one of the best things I would advise young parents.
As you look back at the way that you trained your children, Dad, what do you think we could improve on as the generations go by? Because obviously we've got to continue to sharpen the arrows.
Well, I think you're going to have to separate more and more from the world and from the... What I mean by that is isolation from the world's view, which is shown, of course, on television and in other ways. And homeschooling, I would say, is the only way that you're going to be able to do that in most cases. So you're going to have to pull the children away from the world system, which is being taught, of course, in the government school system and maybe even in some Christian schools. So... that would be one of my pieces of advice, anyway.
My father. Thank you, Dad, for joining us from Grants Pass, Oregon, on Generations.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
What a blessing to hear from the experience of many decades of raising godly children. And praise God, 6 children serving God somewhere around the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back to wrap up this program. I want to give you an idea of some good resources. Will the circle be unbroken?
Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a
better home awaiting in the Skylark.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a five-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp at reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp at reformationchurch.com.
The circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by.
It's generations. Will the circle be unbroken? My name is Kevin Swanson. Boy, we're hardly touching a more important issue in the hearts of every parent out there. By the way, did you pray for your children today? Maybe you should sometime today. Mothers and fathers, what's your commitment? Fathers, what's your vision for your families? Now, I don't want my children discipled in the wrong worldview, the worldview of humanists like Jean-Jacques Rousseau or John Dewey. I don't want that. I don't want my children to be submerged in an MTV cultural world. I don't want that for my children. My vision is different. I want my children to be raised with the ever-present reality of God's Word, God's presence, God's principles, and God's salvation. That's what I want for my children. This is my vision. I want my children to be mighty men of God, beautiful women of God. I want them to be arrows in the hands of a mighty man, polished cornerstones in the palace of the King of Kings. I want them to be able to speak with enemies in the gates. This is what I want. This is the vision that God conveys in His Word for our children. Well, let me recommend to you an important resource today, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. It's a great book. It will help you as you disciple your children. Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. This resource is available at 877-842-CHECK. 877-842-CHECK. Or www.checkbooks.com. That's checkbooks.com. You can interact with this program by emailing kevin@check.org, kevin@check.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you to come back again next time as we raise a vision for the next generation.
The circle being broken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity,
and service, George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Secrets Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Driver education and training gets an F, says the Good Housekeeping magazine in March 2003. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety reports driver education and training could increase the chances of a fatal crash with your teenager. Why is this? What's going wrong here? Why are parents not paying attention to these vital statistics? The problem is not within the teenager, but within the training process. Separate the classroom from the practical, you are setting yourself and your teenager up for failure. University studies have proven that the National Driver Training Institute program works and will drastically reduce the chance of teenage crashes and fatalities. National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is a Colorado-approved graduated driver licensing program that will work for you and your family. Call the National Drivers Training Institute and give your new teen driver education and the training they deserve. Program costs start at $155, and it's recognized by every insurance company in Colorado. Call 266-4700 in the Springs. Outside the Springs, call 1-800-942-2050. Or go online, nationaldrivertraining.com.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.